Starting in verse 6, it says, "When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Oh yeah. Thank you. That's all. And you know what I love? That's family right there. Balancing and dealing with all kinds of things. And what we're trying to do is use this family glimpse as an opportunity to create connections. I hope that some of the things that they shared, maybe you've been holding back. It will create an opportunity for you to go up to Evan and Karen and either talk to them about Charlie's overalls, his yellow muck boots, or whatever it is. But that we're trying to create opportunities for us to go outside of our comfort zone and get to know one another better. Somebody said it to me this week, and I fully agree. The strength of our church is not singularly any one thing. The teaching, the worship, but what really makes us who we are is the connectedness and the relationships that are built and the family that we experience together. And that means that each and every one of us have to buy into that. And we have to continue to press forward with loving each other and living in community together. So going off of Matthew chapter 6 and what was just read, I just want to remind you of that we've been studying prayer. And this morning, we're just calling it Prayer Part 5. The process of praying and that prayer, and if you look up here, just want to remind you of the illustration that we've been using with the picture. And we've been talking about how that this is a process. And when we are praying, obviously the Word of God creates a purification process. I believe that the two biggest things that we all have a battle line with are spending time with God's thoughts, the Word of God, the Bible. There's an incredible battle that still continues to be waged against the Word of God, because the Word of God is quick, living, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces, it divides, it reveals, it does amazing things. Right along with that is prayer. And we used a microwave last time we were together, and we are constantly looking for quick, easy ways to draw close to God, to get everything taken care of. And so if we're not careful, we're looking for things, especially in prayer, we're looking for microwavable experiences. And yet, there is a slow process that involves prayer, and it's intentional, and it takes time. But prayer purifies, prayer sanctifies, prayer cleans us like nothing else, because prayer, especially the kind of prayer that Jesus is talking about here, it's a secret, private, everything else is shut out, and it is a special time between you and God the Father. There's an illumination. There are so many different things that we can talk about that transpire in that secret place. And I want to say thank you. I am so proud of our church family, and I am proud of you, because like never before, we are interceding on behalf of people, not just in our particular congregation and our family, but we're interceding for people around this region. We're interceding for people around this state. We're interceding for people up and down the East Coast and across the map. And we're interceding for people globally, on a global level. And we're communicating about that prayer on a level like we never have before. And I want to say, I am super proud of you. I'm super proud of our church family. We need to grow deeper. We need to grow in our prayer life. And this morning, as we talk about this, I want to mention, as I discussed last week, and if you got to see the posting last week, some of you said that the background almost looked fake because Christian Asik, the place he chose, was just drop-dead gorgeous. But what we were talking about last week in Matthew chapter 6, I just want to remind you of something that I read from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 in the New King James. We discussed a parallel last week between spiritual food and physical food. Now, last week we talked about spiritual food in regards to physical food, but let me remind you of Matthew chapter 4. I referenced it with verse 4, but I want to read verses 1 through 4 to you this morning. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So there's this temptation taking place, and he's being exposed, and he's tired, he's exhausted. Verse 2, and when he had fasted, notice the fasting, 40 days and 40 nights. Afterward, he was hungry. That's kind of an understatement. Some of you, you go 5 hours and you're hangry, right? This is 40 days, 40 nights. Afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter, notice the temptation here, notice the tempter, the devil, came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. So I want you to focus on the physical reality of food and the importance, even with the temptation for Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, that he's using physical food as a temptation here. And then what was Jesus? But verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Today, I want us to consider some truth that's difficult for us to comprehend because we are blessed, wealthy Americans. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, there's maybe some people in here that are wealthy, it's not me. Let me just tell you, for any of us that have traveled outside of the United States, the poorest American is still wealthy. You may be comparing your status to somebody else that you'd see when you see their lands and their property and their cars they drive and the way they live when you drive down the road. But comparatively, when you compare us, all of us in this room this morning, to the global situation, we are wealthy, wealthy people. So this, as I'm going to talk to you this morning, this is a difficult thing for us to talk about. So let me read it to you like this. Holy Father, I'm seeking you and asking you to provide for me and my family, the food today that we need to survive. Now, that's Tim Duggan's changing up a little bit to make it personal for us. What I want to ask right now, how many of us in here this morning have actually set foot in a third world country? Raise your hand. You've been to, go ahead, raise them up, because I figured that. No, keep them up. Look around. I want you to see how blessed we are. Look at that. That's amazing. So for those of you that have set foot in a third world country, and I can just tell you that for those of you that raised your hands, and even for those that didn't, that affects all of our lens and the way that we see things. What I want to ask you is, how did being in a third world country affect you when you saw the living standards of the people that you're around? Now, some of you, it may have been that you were in a third world country, maybe at a resort on vacation. Okay? Praise God you got to take a vacation and be with your family. Some of the rest of you, it might have been in more of a ministry situation. But let me ask you, and this is a participation, I ask a question, you can participate, is how did seeing the living arrangements, or especially what seems to make a difference, the living conditions, but particularly the food source struggle, how did that affect you? Say it out loud. You said ashamed of how spoiled I am. Ooh, that was powerful. Anybody else? Kids waiting for your leftovers. Yeah, kids fighting for their own food on their own. Just keep yelling out, talking out. This is good. Yeah, absolutely. And we have so much to learn from other cultures, Mark. Nailed it. Absolutely. Anybody else? Good stuff. We've had a lot of people in our church family that have traveled with groups. So I want to mention, I mentioned earlier, but I want to mention the Victory 127 Christmas offering. And I want you to understand, if you're new to us and what we do with the Victory 127 Christmas offering, it's more about food, clothing, bedding, and school supplies, not extra fun stuff. Now, I'm not saying that they won't put something in their bag, like a little trinket or a little toy or something like that, but it's more daily survival assistance. It's what we're trying to provide through the Christmas offering for these children and families, our brothers and sisters in Uganda. And I mention that because it's difficult for a lot of us, because we are, and even as I'm asking you to consider this morning when we pray, Father, give us today our daily bread. What does that mean? What does that look like? Tucker, you want to start out? Thank you, sir. Just common bread loaf pieces. Bread. Something that is easy to say, turn your nose to it. Some of you, this is energized when it's toasted and spread with peanut butter and jelly. Yeah. But it's just bread. It's just a basic daily, it's a basic provision. It's something that if you have any kind of grain available to you around the world, all over the planet right now, bread can be made, and bread is made, and bread is baked, bread is processed so that people can sustain their families. Are you tracking with me? So then for us, and let's be honest, for most of us, when we're talking about daily bread, this is not really a concern. Tucker, you want to hook me up again? Because of where we are? Yeah, some of you are like, nah, we're talking. These are just basic things I grabbed out of our pantry. Some of you, no, you cannot have these after the service. I'm just telling you right now. These are for cookie production. But think about it. For us, let's just be gut level honest this morning. When we get to this part of the prayer and it says, Father, give us today our daily bread, what does that look like for us? What does that mean? For the rest of the world, for many places in the world, it means one thing. For us, it means something else. And so I know that this is a very sensitive subject matter, but I want you to hang with me for just a few minutes. I want you to understand my heart. I cannot read this verse without connecting it with what our Lord says down in verse 16. Now, different than the people that are sitting here for the Sermon on the Mount, I get the privilege of reading ahead, just like you do. So they're sitting there, and it was later on when he makes some statements. But when we're reading here and it says, this is how you need to be praying regularly, this is a type of interaction that you need to have, the kind of expression that you need to have to the Father when you're by yourself in your secret place. Give me today my daily bread. If you jump down to verse 16, what does Jesus say? Moreover, when you fast. The Church of Jesus Christ in America 50 years ago used to practice fasting. And we're going to study this more as we continue to go through the Sermon on the Mount. But for me, I can't read, Father, you give me today my daily bread, and not have it in the back of my mind that one of the things that when you fast, not if you fast, but the group that he's talking to because of society and their situation, when you fast. Self-control, discipline, self-denial. Intimacy, focus, bigger picture issues, missional, intentionality, along with many other words can be used to describe fasting. But I'm going to move on from there, but I want you to understand I cannot read these verses without this concept looming in the back of my mind. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever considered a spiritual connection between physical food and your spiritual experience? Have you genuinely? Yeshua is teaching about the heavenly kingdom principles, and he instructs us to pray in this manner. He knows from the Father and from his involvement in creation that this is an integral component, this is an important part of our spiritual development. Father, give us today our daily bread. Holy Father, I'm seeking you and asking you to provide me and my family the food today that we need to survive. So my question is, how do you view food today? The term doesn't sound like a very spiritual sermon. Well, Jesus is the one that said this. Jesus is the one that instructed us to pray this way. So what is your view of food? You've heard this said. I'm going to repeat it. Some people eat to live. Some people live to eat. I mention these two statements because the reality of each creates a perspective or an expectation of how we approach things. Now, I feel the need. This morning is another one of those disclaimer mornings. So I want to read my disclaimer to you. I am not anti-food. I'm not teaching against food or the enjoyment thereof. I'm not against enjoying food together or sharing in lavish meals at periods in our lives. Because somebody is going to come out of here going, well, he don't want us to eat. Well, just so you know, I plan on stuffing myself after we're done. Now, my definition of stuffing might be different than other people's, but I'm going to go home and eat, okay? And then I'm going to nap. Because on Sundays, they go hand in hand. Belly gets a little warm, eyelids start to bob, okay? I'm tired. I realize that I'm treading on one of the more sensitive subjects this morning. I'm fully aware of our culture and our habits as a culture. And I'm going to tell you that where we are as a culture, I would be more confident and more bold standing up here talking about sex and gender and sexual things than I am to stand up in front of you this morning and talk about food. Just being honest. The way we view, the way you view your physical food matters. I will not even begin to do a study on that subject this morning, but if you're interested, there's tons of information in the scripture from Genesis to Revelation on the subject. God addressed food with the Israelites for a particular reason. I believe our bodies were created and we function at an optimal level when we are fueling our bodies in the manner that they were designed. Now, what's funny is I can stand up and talk about this from a creator standpoint and the way that he's made us, and some of you go, blah, 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 yeah, whatever. But if somebody who's been working their tail off with CrossFit throws some kind of diet regimen on Instagram, oh my goodness, let's follow this. Or some nutritionist, they're helping finance their new BMW, says something, you're going to be like, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. But the very creator of the universe, Yahweh Elohim, who made us and fashioned us in his image, he says some things about food, and we're like, yeah, whatever. And I think we need to come back and lay down the whatever and listen. Jesus is saying what he's saying for a reason. What is food to you? Have you ever considered this deeply natural yet physical question? Two things. Is food a provision from God? Or is food pleasure for self? I feel at this point I need to read my disclaimer again. That's why I got the carpet up here this morning. Soften the blow. Anyway, I am not anti-food. I am not teaching against food or the enjoyment thereof. I am not against enjoying food together or sharing in lavish meals at periods in our lives. Are you tracking with me? You get? That's what I'm saying. These are many ways that we can view physical daily food. Let's just consider a few. I'm just going to throw out a few for your consideration. We can view food. We can view food. Sorry, couldn't get that out right. A blessing from God. Or we can view food as a private friend. Oh yeah. Yeah. That Twinkie's got my name on it. Or we can view food as a means of comfort. I'm just telling you right now. I don't know how you live, so don't throw stones at me. I'm just generalizing. We can view food as a means to help accomplish a goal. Because the bottom line is, if you don't fuel yourself properly, especially when you're a high-output person, it can be a means to accomplish a goal. We can view food as an obsession or an addiction. Or we can view food as an opportunity for sharing and fellowship. When we were listening to Rosario weeks and weeks on end, food is a blessed opportunity for us to come together. Food is one of those things that we share together, and physical food is important, but it's also important how we view physical food. An extreme food focus can be subtle and quiet, yet very powerful. Please hear me when I say this. Food can become an idol in our lives. Now, remember what I said earlier? I'm just telling you right now, I know that for a lot of us, because we don't hear a lot of biblical, pastoral, spiritual teaching on food, that I can come across hard. But some of these things need to be talked about openly and honestly, just about anything else that we're talking about, because this has a direct impact on our spiritual lives. And you can get mad at me if you want as the messenger, but it's the message that comes from Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, that it matters that we're praying daily that He will give us what we need on a daily level. It doesn't say, give us today our bread for 3 months running. Now, we can go back to the children of Israel. We can talk about manna that was provided and the fact that God, I mean, there's so many illustrations, but we're going to not do that this morning. But I do want to mention Jacob and Esau. Genesis 25, 29 through 34. I want to remind you of that. And you can go there and you can evaluate the record regarding the power of a food focus. But I just want to mention, as I mentioned earlier, that from Genesis to Revelation, there's so much in the scripture about food and the power of food and how we use food. Just like what the scripture teaches, there is a balance in everything. And please hear my heart when I say this. There are all types of issues for us to address. Some of you here this morning, you have specific things that control you. Things have changed through the years. In the New Testament, what he says is, do not allow alcohol to control you. Don't get drunk. What you need to be controlled with is the Holy Spirit. You need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. There's a direct comparison. So I want to ask you this morning as we wrap things up, does food control you or do you control food? And please look at me and hear my heart. I love you enough to ask you questions that would be similar to what Jesus would probably ask you if he knew your heart and he was standing here and he knew your struggles. Because, there again, I've read ahead. Verse 16, he says, when you fast.
Doctor told me I can't.
And I understand that there are some really pre-existing issues. I'm not busting on that. But I know the difference between the American church and the church in China. I know that one of the differences between the American church and the church in Afghanistan, the American church and the church in Iraq, and I can go country by country, is that their passion for Jesus goes to the top. And in that process of praying and learning the Word of God, the church begins to fast. But it's not something we're going to talk about here in America, because pastors are scared because of the sensitivity. And I'm doing my best to be as sensitive as I can and still proclaim the truth, because Jesus said grace and truth together. So I hope you know I love you. But for some of us, it's time for us to reevaluate. Do we control food, or does food control us? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your Spirit would work. Father, that you would draw us to yourself, that you would show us how to love you deeper and to truly love one another on the level that we need to. I thank you that we were able to share the blessings of food and candy and apples and hot chocolate with literally hundreds upon hundreds of people last night. Father, we pray that you would bless that endeavor. And God, I ask that you would purify us. God, help us to look deep within. And I ask that you would raise up men and women that would live in victory and have self-control and discipline. And Father, that we would possess our vessels, our bodies, our minds, the way that the early church brothers and sisters did. God, we ask that you would purify us, that you would cleanse us, and that you would help us to trust your provision today for our daily bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand and worship him together.